You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
You get in your Bibles, James 4, verse 13. And so tonight and next Wednesday, we are going to be just completing the book of James, our genuine disciple series. I haven't forgotten about that. And so we need to finish that off, finish with the book of James. For the new year, our theme for next year is going to be faithful to be fruitful. And so basically, I'll be explaining all that. I will be preaching from John 15. And so we will be doing a series, Faithful to be Fruitful. We want to have our most fruitful year next year. Our most fruitful, everything we touch, everywhere we go, we want to be fruitful. We're going to be faithful, but we're going to be fruitful. Amen. And so that's our theme for the year. We're going to do something slightly different. I'm not going to be going through a book of the Bible on Wednesday. Not straight away. I may begin in the middle of the year. But we're going to be doing this Wednesday series called Extraordinary. And what we're doing is we're going to be going through looking at the disciples' life. And so we're going to go through all the disciples. And what we're really trying to show you is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We look at these men, and these men are world changers. But they're just ordinary men. And if Jesus can take 12 and one of them betrays him and have 11 and change the world, we've got more than 11 people in this church. We can touch this world for Jesus. And so, exciting time. So we're going to be going through all of that and we'll inform you all about those things. But let us continue in our series. By the end of the service, we will have the numbers, the results back for the two extra council members to be added to James, Roger, sorry, and Kudzi. I forgot who the council was. Quick intro. When it comes to Christmas time, how many know there's a lot of planning? A lot of planning going on. People always ask me, have you done all your Christmas shopping? Are you all prepared? And I'm lastminute.com. I'm always, most of the gifts that I needed to buy, I did them today. Literally, I did do them today. People are more than the gifts, the food. How many know you got to buy all the food in? And people ask me about that. I'm like, you need to ask my wife, amen. She's the one who knows about all of that. But I know that there is a lot of planning. When it comes to the end of the year, this is when we're thinking about plans for next year. Amen? And we know that we want to do things. We should make plans. A man that doesn't have a plan always worries me. Men that don't have plans, they concern me. Ladies, listen. If he doesn't listen, when you start to date a guy, you should ask him, what are your plans? This is asking, oh, he makes me laugh. No, who cares? What is his plans? Like, bro, what's your plans? What you got going on? Where you going? Let me hear where you're going. Let me get a feel of what you're doing. Because I always get worried when a man has no goals. When he has no drive. Men that have no drive, we see that a lot nowadays. Men have no drive, staying at home with their mom till they're 35, playing video games, no driving license. Wife driving you around. What's that about, man? I haven't experienced that one yet. No initiative. You know, there's a saying, fail to plan. Oh, see, this is what I know. This is the church to be in. But I'm going to go in a whole nother direction. So I've said all of that, but we're going to look at the word of God. Because how many know God's word is better than man's words? James 4 verse 13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your ignorance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for anointing on this service. Father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus. We know, Father, it's not all to do with what the world says Christmas is about, but we just know you came. And Father, whether it's today, tomorrow, yesterday, Father, we worship you every day. But we choose this time just to remember even more. We thank you for sending your son into the world to die for wretched sinners like us. And we thank you for salvation. And we thank you that you've kept us another year. And all God's people said,
Amen.
This is a very unusual passage of scripture. And if I'm honest, if I wasn't challenged to go through the book of James, I probably wouldn't choose this to preach from. And so as I was contemplating over this, looking at it, some of the things that stand out to me is this, is that we do need to plan and have goals and have ambitions. And if those of you that know me know I'm a planner. I'm the guy that likes to plan everything out. I like to have a contingency plan. When I'm discipling men, I give them responsibilities. And then I will say to them, have you planned this event? Have you got this? Yes, Pastor, we've done it. I'm like, what if that doesn't happen? How are you going to get around it? Because otherwise, life is always going to throw you a curveball. But there can be a misconception with planning. Is that in your planning, you start to feel it is guaranteed. You start to feel, oh, as long as I'm planning and I know what I'm doing, this is going to happen. No, a plan is still just a plan. Let me show you what the Bible says about man's plan. Psalms 33 verse 10. Excuse me. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. That means the decisions. God says, listen, I can bring that to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. God says, your plans are nothing without me. Psalms 146 verse 4. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that day his plans perish. Speaking about when you die, that's it. Your plan is over. How many know? Well, you may have a 5-year plan. I'm going to be here in 5 years. How many know if you die in 2 years, that's it's not going to happen. Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Meaning you can make many plans, but unless God is on it. See what James is dealing with here is people make plans, people make hopes in their plans rather than God. Things you want to do next year. I'm going to do this. I'm planning to do this. I'm planning to do that. And so your hopes are in your plans, not in your God. See, when you start to make plans, what James is dealing with here is that you can start to become presumptuous. It's a nice big word. Basically, presumptuous just means brazen, overconfident, arrogant, egotistical, overbold, audacious, forward, familiar, insolent, cocksure, cheeky, rude, impotent, uncivil, overhasty. Is that in your plans, when you're speaking, you're becoming arrogant. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going. This is what my life is about. Your plans have now led you to boast. He says in our text, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. He says there are people that they're saying, this is how they go, yeah, next year I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go to this place, and then I'm going to accomplish this, and this is where I'm going to work, and this is what I'm going to do. And people are speaking like this, but there is no God in it. It's a confidence in your plan And your plan is self-centered. You are at the center of it. Because in the text here, he says this: today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. He said, I'm going to trade and make a profit. I'm going to go there and do this. This is what I'm going to do. His plans were self-centered, confident in themselves. This is a false sense of security. This is an empty confidence. See, arrogance opens you up to empty confidence. Empty confidence. You're confident, but you're confident in something which is empty. Your life is going to, one day, is going to knock on the door and say, let's open what you're confident in. And then you're going to realize, hold up, this whole time I've been confident in something empty. Boasting about things that you do not know. Pastor, no. I'm talking about my business. I know my business. I know my work. I know about education. I know my field. No, you're still boasting about something that you do not know. No, Pastor, sister, I understand about relationships and what's going on. I understand about ministry. I've been in ministry a long time. I know about churches. I know about all of this stuff. No, listen, you are still boasting in something you do not know. What do you mean? Because this is my field. You do not know what tomorrow holds. When you start to speak, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and this is where I'm going to be and that's where I'm going to be. Can I say, you need to be very careful when self is at the center, because you do not know and I do not know what tomorrow holds. I hope it holds some nice turkey for me. Some gravy and some roast potatoes and some rice. See, that's the Jamaican and the Irish mix. The potatoes and the rice. He says in the text, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. See, the problem with us, we think tomorrow is just more of today. And because most of the time it is. Let's be honest. Most of the time, yesterday was kind of like today. You got up, you got dressed, you know, you went out, you did your thing, and then you came back and you went to sleep. Most days are kind of like that. But let me tell you this now. There is a tomorrow coming that is nothing like today. For every single one of us, there is a tomorrow that is coming that is nothing like today. It's going to be a day like we've never seen. And in that day, we're going to realize what we've been building. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 127 verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, they labor in vain who build it, sorry. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It says, unless God's in it, there's something is going to hit you. See, a sickness or financial tragedy. Think about this now. These people on Sunday were talking about, hey, let's go into the city and go shopping for Christmas. And a family, a daughter, her mother, the grandparents, they get up and they go shopping, not knowing what tomorrow would bring them. Yeah. And by the end of that tomorrow, the grandparents are dead, the daughter is dead, and the woman is weeping. They did not know what tomorrow would bring. Can you imagine the discussions they were talking about? Do you imagine? Oh, we're going to do this on Christmas Day. We're going here for New Year's Eve. We're going to do this next year. We're paying off our holiday. I don't know what they're doing. And we're not saying that they're any more evil than us. We don't know them. I'm saying that this is life. That tomorrow is going to hand you some things. One, most tomorrows are the same as today, but there is coming a tomorrow that is not like today. There is a tomorrow that is going to hand you death. There is going to be one tomorrow for every single one of us right now. There is coming a tomorrow that is going to hand us death. God forbid. It could be tomorrow for any of us. Have you thought about that? That one day you're going to get up and it's your last day. We hope that it's going to be an old age, in peaceful circumstances. You've lived an accomplished life. Your children are around the bed. Your grandchildren are around the bed, looking into your face with love. And you pray and you, "I love you." And you breathe your last breath. And you go to be with God. We'd all love that. You're about 100 now. And right up to 100, you're still running and playing football and loving God. And then all of a sudden you say, "Okay, it's time to go." And I hope to God, but come on, let's be realistic. The reality is, there's going to come a day where we get up and we still could be young, or feel young, or still think there's more of life in us. It's going to hand us death. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if that tomorrow is going to be in a week. I don't know if that tomorrow is going to be in a month. I don't know if it's going to be in a year, or 5 years, or 50 years. But there will be one tomorrow. And the song that James is saying, sorry, here, is that, listen, when you're making your plans, you better understand what you're talking about. That God needs to be at the center of these things. There's coming a tomorrow one day where Jesus is going to come back. There's going to come a tomorrow when everything is going to change. And the book of Revelation is going to be revealed. We're going to see it in high definition. What we were reading, what does that mean? And this beast and this scroll, and what's going on here? And all of these things. There's coming a tomorrow that Jesus is going to come back. There's coming a tomorrow. There'll be one tomorrow where this is it. Jesus, we've been talking about it for years. They were talking about it from age. Many have never seen it. There's some people that maybe in this generation you will see Jesus come back. In your generation. See, plans without God, these plans are empty, arrogant, and unwise. This is what he says is, therefore, you do not know. He says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Now, I've used that scripture many, many times to people. Like, come on, bro, if you know what to do. But it's when James is using it, I think he's using it in context of what we've just spoke about. What James is saying, listen, is that you should know not to speak like this. And when you do speak like this, it's sinful. Man-centered, self-centered plans that are arrogant and boasting in self without room for God is sinful. People plan their life without God. Many people plan so many different things. Some people plan their education without God. They plan their education. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go there. And this is what I'm going to study. And no factor for God in it. No factor for God. No thinking about God. No thinking about, where am I going to go to church? How am I going to serve God there? And no, afterwards, you chose where you wanted to go and what you're going to do. And then afterwards, what am I going to do about church and about God? You've made a plan. You made a self-centered plan. Oh, no. It's education centered. Remember what he said? We're going to go here. We're going to do this. We're going to go there for a year. We're going to travel here. Listen, that's your plan. Where's God in that? Planning a career. This is where I'm going to work. This is where I'm going to go. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to go here to this country. I'm going to go around here. This is where I'm going to be working. This is the hours I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to be doing. He says, listen, you're making plans without God in it. Relationships. See, one of the things James says here, he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I was thinking about bringing a kettle in here. Not for a cup of tea. But just so you could see the vapor that comes out of the kettle. And then it kind of steams. But we all know what we're talking about. You put a kettle on and it just starts bubbling and chop, 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 chop. And then it gets to that point where it's about to turn itself off and steam is coming out. And then it turns itself off and then it vanishes. The Bible says that is our life. That's how God sees our life. And let me show you the point. You know, if we said someone lived 100 years ago, they're kind of forgotten now. Okay, 100 years ago, so what? Someone in history. If we said someone lived 200 years ago, whoever they are, 100 years difference to us still doesn't make any difference. We're not like, oh, well, they only lived 100 years ago or 200 years ago. When you're looking into history, doesn't matter how far back that person lived. To me, they're just in history. Whether it was 1,000 years ago, it's not like, oh, because they lived 100 years ago, I'm really going to study them or know them because it's only 100 years. They're gone. And people that live fine, you don't think about how long. It's whatever they did. It's whatever they did. What does that show? That our lives are nothing. They come and they go. It's like a vapor, the Bible says. Like that's kind of humbling, you know. Like when you look at a little vapor. No, hold up. No, say my life is something different, man. My life is like a pebble that's in the river, and it remains through time and ages as the river rolls over the coarse edges and smooths it out. No, it says, no, your life is like a vapor. 1 minute it's here, then it's gone. That's what God says your life is. Your plans, your education, your job, your relationships. God says, listen, it will come and it will go. It will come and it will go as quick as that. And let me just superimpose this on my message. This is for free. You get freebies in these messages, man. This is a Christmas special. Whatever you're worrying about now, stressing yourself out about, consuming your mind. Listen, that thing is temporal. That problem will come and go. Better you just say, you know what? If I can fix it, I'll fix it. If I can't, let God fix it. I'm going to just enjoy the moment. I'm going to live for God right now. Because some people, listen, you're wasting your life stressing over what's not happened yet, not even able to focus on the good things that are now. Yes. You got to live in the now sometimes. I'm not saying don't have a plan, but this is the issue. Some of us are planning so far ahead that we've missed the now. You got to deal with the now sometimes. Oh, there are people, oh, when I get this, this is when I'm going to be happy. When I live here, when I drive this, when I earn that, when I get here. But what about now? Because that might not come for another 10 years. What are you going to do from now to 10 years? Just, no, you better live now. Enjoy those that are around you now. Because God forbid, just like the lorry that knocked out these people. Imagine if they're thinking, oh, in a year's time, I'll sort things out. We'll spend more time in a year's time. We'll do this. No, you got to do it now. You got to do it now. I remember my dad telling me that after the 9/11, and he lived in America, he still does, and you know, that ripples through a lot of people, making them realize, hold up, you can get up and go to work and never come back. And you automatically think that tomorrow is going to be more like today. You may never see that person again. You may never see that spouse again. You may never see that child again. You may never see those parents again. You may never see that loved one again. And you're making a big thing out of a small thing. You're making a big thing out of a small thing. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going to be in a little mood for now, for a few years. And there's some people that like that. Let it go, man. Let it go. It's minor. Focusing on what you're going to do. Oh, next year, you know, I want to do this. I'm going to be on fire for God. I'm going to do all these things. What are you doing now? Let me speak to men here. You want to preach the gospel and you're like, oh yeah, when I go out, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be here and I'm going to do that. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm going to do this. Is what I'm going to do. I'm planning to do. What are you doing now? We need men now. Wandsworth needs men of God now. To love this congregation, to serve this congregation, to give in this congregation. We need that now. Not, oh, I'm going to do that. You keep talking about what you're going to do. Can we see something now that you're doing? If you can't love these people, and by the way, these are the people that send you. These are the people whose pounds and pennies we use to buy the equipment that you use when you go. So you better start serving them now. Because I don't want to go up on conference and going out of Wandsworth and we call you up and everyone's like, no, No, I'm leaving. No. My tithe is going to Fulham. I'm not tithing to send that punk out. That's the real deal. Can't be talking about, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Listen, you can go to Rotherhide and ask anybody. I won't go around there. Listen, I've got faults. I know I have. But I won't go around saying, this is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. No. I never went around telling people that. What I did was this. Serve people. Serve people in my congregation. Try my best to help people in my congregation. Bless people. Oh, you need a lift, sis? Okay, come on. Let's get in a car, babe. Can we just drop this person home? This is what I did while I was in the congregation. Because really and truly, that's what you're going to do when you're out. Yeah. Oh, no. I want to preach. The reality is this, that we should plan. We should have plans for 2015. But what God is talking about here is he at the center of these plans? Look what he says. He's saying, before you start saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He says, what you should say is, if the Lord wills. And I hope most of the time when you hear me speak about the future, I'll usually say, by God's grace, we'll do this. If the Lord gives me good health, this is what I want to do. Because I realize without God, I can do nothing. I have to put God at the center of it. See, this is what he's saying, that we should be praying and talking and understanding, Lord, is this your will? Give us the grace to do it. See, what this does is it makes you understand or look deeper into your goals, your plans, and your motivations. Because you can't ask God to bless a motivation or a plan or a goal which is ungodly. You can't ask God. Too many people are trying to do their own will and then bring it to God and say, bless it. Where do you know that's not, we don't see that in the Bible. We don't see people going about their own business, getting their own will. Yeah, this is what I want to do. Let me bring that to God. Bless it. Go on, bless it. Come on, okay, I'll fast. Now bless it. No. Remember what we said, obedience is better than sacrifice. See, what it's not about what we should be saying is this the will of God? Is it the will of God for me to study here? Is it the will of God for me to work here? Is it the will of God for me to be in this relationship? Is it the will of God? That's what we need to be praying. See, once you build your plans upon God, it enables you to know that God is in control. And what this does, church, listen, this brings true peace. See, maybe some of you are going through some anxiety right now is because you don't know if God's in control. Because you're just doing your own thing. And maybe what you need to do is say, God, Lord, if this is meant to be, then Lord, let it be. And if it's not, then it's not. I'm not going to push it anymore. I'm trying to make something happen that just, you're getting anxious. You know, let me say, in relationships, you do your best, you be the best you can, but if it's not working, it's not working. It's not working. People are, listen, God will make it happen. In a job, you go for that interview, you're anxious, you're sweating, you're losing hair, everything, you know. If you're meant to have that job, God will give you that job. Okay, you do your research. Go on the website, learn all the background of the company. I know in 2004, this company. It's good to know that. Do your research, do your planning. But don't, listen, if God wants you to have that job, he'll have that job. Yes. See, a life where you've put God first and you realize God is in control gives you confidence and security. Confidence and security. And what that means is the absence of stress, worry, and anxiety. And this is what lifts the quality of life. See, there's one thing to be alive, there's another thing to have quality of life. A mushroom is alive. Do you know that? Fungus is alive. It's alive. A little hamster in a cage is alive. But what is your quality of life? See, Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. This is what it is. It's putting our trust in Christ. Can I tell you, church, I do have plans, but I have a number one plan. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15 says, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude of the battle." Sorry, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours. 2015, it's not yours, it's God's. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some losses. There's going to be some tears. There's going to be some rejoicing. There's going to be some mistakes. There's going to need some patience. There's going to be some celebrations. But in all of that, what we want to do is say, you know what? This battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. No matter what 2015 hands me, I know that my life is in His hands. And that's my plan. My plan for next year is to keep my life in His hands. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.